Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
One of the greatest things about missions and how God uses missions and missionaries is during difficult crisis times. Think of all the ministries that we do have and we work with. 8 Days of Hope, when do they appear? During a crisis time. Samaritan's Purse, when do they come on board? During a difficult time. Difficulties bring on questions, and sometimes these questions are eternal, and God has the answers for eternity, doesn't it, Nathan?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're talking about eternity, which encompasses all time, both chronos time, like on the clock or on a calendar, and kairos time, which is moments and maybe special times or occasions or, well, a critical time, a crisis. And so God has a way of putting his people in a position to be around in a proximity when someone else that maybe God is working on behind the scenes, working in their heart to draw them to himself. God has a way of putting his people in their pathway and in that moment where they have those questions, where those, where that openness to hear God's word and respond to God, where people are more open for that, open-minded, open-hearted. And those times are usually critical moments. They're in a place of crisis. So whether you consider yourself a missionary or not, if you're living a life on mission, you will find yourself in somebody else's crisis from time to time. So you can be ready to give an answer when they ask you about your hope.
That's awesome, Nathan. And I hope all of you who are listening heard that God can use you when you're on mission for God. Well, one of the stories in the Bible that we want to talk about just a few minutes, is the Philippian jailer. Here it was, Paul and Silas was in jail, and he was responsible for them staying there and being there when they were coming to get them. And they were singing. Paul and Silas, they were singing and praising the Lord. And the Philippian jailer would hear that. But then the earthquake would happen. And he assumed that these guys would get out of the jail and get out of town. And he went in there and about to kill himself, crisis time. And Paul said, "Do yourself no harm. We're still here."
Yeah, the jailer knew that his responsibility were these prisoners. And you can read about the story in Acts 16. We won't read the whole passage because it's a little bit lengthy. But basically, in Acts 16, verse 23, talking about Paul and Silas, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. So he was given the responsibility of guarding these particular prisoners, Paul and Silas, with his own life. Assuming that they had escaped after this earthquake, he was ready to go ahead and end his life rather than face the severe punishment that was sure to come his way from the authorities.
And all of us will have a crisis time. Some of you who are listening probably came to the Lord during that period of time. And then there's some of us, as pastor, I was called on a lot of times during a crisis time. It could be death, illness, financial, personal, so many things I remember and recall. And the answer is a relationship. Now, that doesn't mean it's a get-out-of-jail-free card, but it does mean you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother during these times who will never leave you or forsake you. And it says about that Philippian jailer, he asked them, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do?" Paul told him, "Believe, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved." And that very night, he took them out of jail.
Yeah.
And he was baptized, and he took them home, and his whole family heard about it. It sounded like the whole family came as followers of Christ during what? a crisis time. Can God use crisis times, Nathan?
He can. And the crisis may or may not be created by God himself. He might allow a crisis to happen sometimes.
Yes.
Here in this case, it seemed like God actually brought the earthquake on to bring the jailer to this moment and this point of crisis. Some have called it a crisis of belief. And he was brought to this moment by God to hear the good news of Jesus. And it was for him and his whole household who were saved. If you're going through a crisis, it may be for someone else's benefit. But more than likely, if you're living on mission, like I said before, be ready for the crisis moments of people around you. God has put you in their life to give an answer for why you have the hope that is inside of you.
I have to admit, every time I have the opportunity to interview this guest, I take it. And Dan Steiner is here in Tupelo, Mississippi for this day. And he got to view the new headquarters here at Tupelo. And Dan, it's good to have you, brother. I'm glad you came down to Tupelo, Mississippi.
Well, I sure hope I could be in Exploring the Word and your missions program here, Bert, because it's all about, and as I look at the magnificent headquarters that God has built on the legacy of Don Wildman and now Tim and Walker and the crew, it was built on God's Word, really.
It is. And where Exploring the Word, the other program that I do, came about was Tim's idea. He said, by the time we get it 3 o'clock Central Time, we need a break from the issues of the day, even from a biblical point of view. Let's do a Bible study program.
Awesome.
And listen, that's awesome. And then later on, this program came out about that because our co-host, Nathan Harper, said, Dad, I noticed you do missions ever so often on Exploring the Word. And so I went to Jim Stanley, who was the station and program manager at that time, and I told him the idea, and he said, what about Exploring Missions every weekend? So
wow.
That's where this program came from.
I didn't know that. That's
yeah,
good.
That's how it came about. And I give you that because you've been on it probably more than any other guest we've
really?
Had, Dan. Yeah.
Well, praise God.
Because we love preborn. And one thing before I get into preborn history, just a little bit, because we have people listening that hadn't listened before. Maybe
sure.
They didn't even catch in January when we were doing the promotion about what God is doing through preborn. But before that, what I'd love for you to do is share a little bit about your history. And before preborn, you were excited about God's work even before then. But didn't you say, God, I believe you got something else to put me in and share Christ with others?
Yeah. Well, you know, it really was birthed out of a time of prayer and study of God's Word. I'd get up for 2 hours every morning and seek the Lord. And during those times, I really sensed his broken heart over this issue of abortion. Well, he sees every abortion burn, it breaks his heart. It says in Psalm 139, as you know, that all our days are prepared for us when yet there's not any of them. It's God's dream for every baby. And they're cut off, and not only that loss, but he sees their pain and he sees the terror when they're destroyed in their mother's womb. And during that time of prayer, it's like, what can I do, God, to alleviate your pain? And that's set me on a journey. I was in trucking before that, you know, it's like a natural career path of trucking and then a women's center. But we ended up going into what actually stops abortion, what actually makes a difference. And while protest is a great thing to do, we should protest abortion, life chains, and, you know, sitting in front of abortion clinics, community consciousness is a great thing. Politics to try to roll back the laws in state and local levels that permit the travesty and the Holocaust of abortion in America. Last year, 1.3 million babies destroyed. We should try to change those laws. Thank God we got a pro-life administration, more than we've ever had. But what really saves babies is helping that woman realize the precious gift of life is inside of her. You know, children are a gift from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward, not a problem. It's a beautiful, brave thing for a woman to choose life in an unplanned pregnancy. And the ultrasound session and counseling helps her grasp the reality of that gift that she's been given. It doubles the likelihood that she'll choose life. And so many of your missions program people have supported so well ultrasounds, many, many hundreds of them. And it literally doubles the likelihood these girls choose life. And so that set me on a journey and to start preborn to try to help pregnancy centers be more effective, equip them with ultrasound machines, underwrite ultrasound sessions for them, find women on the internet and send them into the centers. We do that with millions of dollars every year to reach these women online. And that's all the really the only competition these days for abortion in America, which has become an internet-driven chemical abortion, is 68% procured on the internet.
It's changed everything in a way, hasn't it? The way we approach trying to do something about it.
It sure has, and it's more difficult than ever.
We have had some good news that some of the, I would say, the pharmaceutical people that has pharmacies in their stores has said, we're not going to sell that. We would love for more to say that. But because of the mail, I mean, a lot of the states you can send it to another state and have it sent to a state that doesn't allow, quote, abortions. And so it's a, what you're doing, Dan, is, like you said, about the only way we can do it. I think the churches need to ring out with how important life is.
Yes.
You know, that's the whole story of the Bible, honestly, is creation, the fall, and redemption.
Yes.
That's a pretty wide area, but that's really what the Bible's all about. God's creation is important, and God's redemption is vital, and preborn does both of those. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. The greatest need of any woman that comes into our center isn't just to know the reality of her baby and the fact that we're there to help her for free with maternity clothes and cribs and car seats. 2 years after the baby's born, we're still giving them baby food, lots of diapers. But more importantly than that, that woman can come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that she has a different worldview and a different decision-making matrix, make better decisions in her life so she's not in an unplanned pregnancy anymore. And then hopefully, when that baby's born and grows up, the baby will come to Christ as well. If we save the baby and the mother chooses life, but neither of them choose Christ, and they end up alienated from God for eternity, that's not the end game, you know? And so we've got to be there with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's word, Jesus said they'll know the truth, and the truth will set them free. And so God's word and the gospel are just the key for our mission of reaching these women. And that's really, frankly, I'm an evangelist by passion and practice. That's really why I'm doing this. Saving babies is a great thing, but leading that mom to Christ is even better.
Amen. Well, partnerships. I wanted to go there earlier, and I got off track, but our partnership with Preborn here at AFR is vital. We love it that we go in and say, hey, let's give these ultrasounds so that these women can come in and see that child and hear that heartbeat. It's a passion for AFR, American Family Radio, American Family Association. So partnership. So what you do, Preborn, okay, we partner with you, our listeners do, but then you partner with these other clinics around that need help in these strategic places. The reason I bring that up is how important that is in missions, partnerships. Denominations, yes, they will send those missionaries, and it's funny, I found this out, Dan. Here in America, they're not in our denomination. They're not in our denominations. But many times, especially when they get into a mission area where there's not a lot of fellowship among believers, all of a sudden some of those barriers is not quite as important as they thought they were.
Here. Right.
Isn't that amazing?
It is true. And it's the body of Christ. Every part has its function. But we all support one another, and you get a lot further when you do. And so we work with any brand and stripe of clinic that's saving babies. We're for them.
Amen.
We want to help them be effective, and we work with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds every year, teaching them evangelism, giving them leadership principles, sending women into their clinics in the highest abortion cities of America. And some of these places are destitute, like Hollywood, for instance, is like 0.2% Christian. It's like a third world country.
It is.
It's desperate for the light and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you do kind of feel a little bit isolated in some of these liberals enclaves across the country, and those partnerships are vital. And so we work with centers for free. Everything Preborn does is for free. Compliments of the listeners of the missions program here as well as AFR.
Well, when I hear this partnership, I also think of this, and I want to go back. Evangelist at heart, in calling, and then use and having the idea of what God asked about abortion. What does God hate? God, what do I need to do? God not only partners with individuals and ministries, it's amazing how in our own life, he brings partnership into that life. Evangelist, desire for children, and here it is at Preborn. Yes, the baby's life is saved, so many, and we'll get to numbers in a minute, but also the witness of Jesus Christ. again, combination, connection, mm-hmm. partnership. Mm-hmm. Even in our desires, how God brought that about in your life and through preborn. Dan, I just love that.
Well, and it's kind of selfish on my part. When I came from trucking into women's ministry, God helped those women on that first couple of years, I realized that I'm in trouble. I don't know what to do, and I'm not qualified. And God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. And I'm a witness of that. So I needed the power of God in the ministry, Bert. And I thought, well, where's that? And it's in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's that, the gospel. That's the power of God. On the self, I said, we need the power of God at Preborn. And so we started Mission Preborn, later called Preborn, thanks to Dan Cilia. He never got the name right. He always called it Preborn. I thought, well, that's shorter, and I get tired of writing Mission anyway, so, you know, we'll just call it Preborn. That really is the truth. And since then, you know, we've seen, like, over now, this is our 20th year, Bert. We've made it 20 years.
I want everybody to get ready, and if you have a pen and paper, I want you to write these numbers down, because I remember in January when we were doing this with Preborn, I'd write those numbers down right before we'd go on the program, so I would see them, and I'd visualize them as individuals. So we got some folks out there that are prayer warriors. When you write these numbers down, it will affect you in wow, this is what God is doing. So yeah. I know I interrupted you with the numbers, but I wanted people to understand this. This is powerful. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for that, Bert, because it is one woman, one child, one life at a time, and they're precious to the Lord. You know, and so you can get lost in the numbers. We're thankful through partnerships of the many, many listeners to AFR. We've seen over 469,000 women choose life. It's a small city. That have chosen life, but each one of those matters dearly to the Lord. They're precious souls for which Jesus died. And we've seen over 117,000 women also receive Christ in one-on-one prayer sessions, over 45 minutes or an hour and a half, pray to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so it's a very vibrant mission that is intentional about results, eternal results. And we want to stay true to that mission of saving lives, saving souls, and doing nothing but that. We are the only competition against the abortion juggernaut, a $1.8 billion Goliath that's stalking our land and killing children. Abortion is worse than it's ever been. I wish the Trump administration, frankly, would be more aggressive about it. But in the meantime, we're out there reaching these women, finding them on the internet before they order that abortion pill, having them talk to one of our nurses online, making an appointment for the woman in one of our clinics so she can go in for free, same-day appointment. And if we can just get her in front of an ultrasound machine, that maternal instinct will kick in, and it'll double the likelihood she'll choose life. And then we're right there beside her for the whole 9 months and 2 years afterwards with whatever she needs to empower her to choose life. It's not just enough. You know, Jesus' ministry is characterized by meeting physical needs to share eternal truth. And that's exactly what we do. You know, whatever it is they need so they can choose life, we want to then be with them for the whole trip, demonstrating the sincerity and validity of God's love for them.
When we talk about the word follow-up, in a church, we have people that come to know Christ, and a lot of churches have new member training. They take them on a journey. At the church where I last pastored, my wife and a few others, mainly my wife, especially with children, would take them through what was called a survival kit. It's a 12-week study, and it could be on a children's level, a teenage level, adult level, according to what level they were in. But follow-up, even in that, what Paul would do, like Timothy, he took Timothy with him on the missionary journey. I would call that follow-up. And Jesus, he called the 12 out. And what did they do? They had a 3-year camp out. That's what I, you know, have a little fun with it. And foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Come on and follow me, boys. A rock and a log, and you got it made. That's all you need. But follow-up. You've talked about the physical needs, diapers, all that help and all that encouragement, spiritual growth. We're talking about the support. Let's just talk about, I know you've mentioned it, but zero in on that support for a while after they choose life.
Yeah. So vital, Vert. Thanks for that. Preborn is an interventionary ministry. We are right there trying to get them before they jump off the cliff, right there before they order that abortion pill, before they make that abortion clinic appointment. We are there with a nurse, the most trusted medical professional in young woman's life, helping them think twice, slow down, consider what's really, because a lot of times they're being pressured by others for that. And so we intervene at that point. She chooses life in a clinic. Then the work starts, not only with the physical needs that you mentioned, so that she has the material needs. That's not a problem for her. We know that the majority of women, 2/3 of them, the reason they push, being pushed into abortion many, many times is financial needs. So we're there with financial help for them, whether it's housing, whether it's daycare, what is it that they need in our clinics? But even more importantly than that is to get them into the fellowship of a local church where they can have women their own age that will walk beside them, where they're hearing biblical truth, where we're able to make better decisions in their life. And so that's critical to what we do. It's done in every one of our clinics. Then we also have other programs that are done in many of our clinics, whether that's a GED program. We have programs that are called Earn While You Learn, where we help women, you know, be better mothers for their babies, and they can earn what we call baby bucks to use those bucks then to get stuff in our supply stores in our clinics, whether it be cribs or baby furniture, whatever they need.
That is amazing. And let me just say this, for those individuals that are ignorant of the fact that those of us who are pro-life, we're not just for that baby to be born. Mm-hmm. We're for that child to grow and mature and become what God intended them to do. And when they hear this, they'll turn the curve real quick and get off of that. You don't care about after them. You just care they're born. Preborn said, nah, that's not true. We care about that mom. We care about the child. We care. Jesus is the example of that, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. He would feed people. He would heal people. He would meet their physical needs, which attracted them. And so it's the whole person. It's a whole person ministry. You're dealing with their needs. You know, James says it, you know, how can you say be warmed and filled and not give them of their bodily needs? And, you know, that's not God's way of doing things. And so he uses those physical things as a stage upon which to impart the truth that they need and minister to the whole person. Jesus demonstrated throughout his ministry. It's like compassion fell on him. He didn't want them, after he taught them for 3 days, to go back and, you know, faint on the way back home is what he said. No, feed them. And so it's just practical help. The whole, this is the essence of missions, right?
Yes.
Across the world, whether it's digging a well or whatever it is that they need, orphanages, but that provides us the right and the validity and the verification that we're sincere. We're not there for anything. We're not charging them. We're not there to get something from them. We're there to give something to them. And that is not just the physical help, but more important, the discipleship, the conversion, the discipleship that they need.
Two things I want to make sure to get in before we finish this interview is, or this conversation. I tell folks I don't interview folks. I just have a conversation with
Amen.
Them. And that's kind of, I enjoy that anyway. The one is, give the website, and they can look on it, and they can find more details concerning Preborn, their ministry, and what they're doing.
Yeah, if you have an interest in participating or finding a center nearest you, or if, in fact, abortion has touched your life and you'd like to talk to someone about abortion healing, because abortion is not the unforgivable sin, why, come to our website, and those resources are waiting for you there, preborn.com, preborn.com, and we'd love to hear from you.
Volunteers, I know you have to have professional people working at some clinics. Volunteers is really a major part of it. Here in Tupelo, Mississippi, I'm familiar with quite a few of the volunteers that work here, and their heart is for God.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a heart for those women, those two things. And then the child, that it would, you know, the cause of the joy that children bring.
Yes.
You know, we need to get that across, the joy. And as you said, happy is the man whose quiver is full of them.
Yeah.
And so the joy is there, and those people that would volunteer, they should, and they do. Most of the ones that I know bring that joy to the work they're doing in trying to help these young ladies.
It's an amazing thing to me, Bert, that You know, you've got this $1 billion supported by, you know, all the elites in our country and Ford Foundation, the Bloomberg Foundation, Gates Foundation. And God's answer to that abortion industry is that, you know, homeschool mom that volunteers 4 hours a week, that has the heart of Jesus and a gift of mercy and can connect with that woman, like all the propaganda falls to the wayside when somebody's there just showing them that they care for them. And if that's you and you want to volunteer, why, find the clinic nearest you. And if your church doesn't support an abortion or a pregnancy clinic, the answer to abortion in your community, the compassionate answer, they should adopt a pregnancy center near them. Go to your pastor and peck on his door and say, hey, you know, what are we doing about this issue? And this Holocaust is going on in our backyard. Because it is, the abortion of today and tomorrow, right now, is your neighbor's teenage daughter's bathroom where she's taking that abortion pill 68% of the time. And so we've got to do something about that. Preborn offers an alternative to that. Pregnancy clinics offer an alternative to that. And churches need to stand up. They're supposed to be the pillar and support of the truth anyway, according to the Word of God. So he said on a hill, you know, and salt of the world. And so we can't just be an entertainment-driven, therapeutically oriented church. We have to be in practice doing something in our own communities. And every community almost in America has a pregnancy center close to it. And the church needs to stand beside that, because we'll all appear before the Lord and says, what did you do about abortion in your community? And the answer is, you know, the local pregnancy clinic and preborn.
Amen. I agree with you 100%. If I could agree more than 100%, I would. The local church, let me just share with you, we're on mission for God.
Amen.
And when you support your crisis pregnancy center, preborn, you're carrying out the Great Commission because of the witness. You're taking care of God's creation because of that child in the image of God. And I always use this. I said, you get more than you think. You really do. You're not only helping that mother, helping that child, but you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're encouraging those volunteers that are there. And so all the churches out there, let's get on board. Let's be a part of God's Great Commission. And one of the great places that God is using is those pregnancy centers where God is being glorified and lives are being changed.
Amen.
Dan, thank you for being with us.
It's always a joy to be on your missions program here.
Well, it's a joy to have you, and we appreciate your work that you're doing. And those of you that are listening, thank you for listening to Exploring Missions, and find out where God wants you to work, just like Dan, praying, seeking God. He said, here's where I want you. God will take you where he needs you to go. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions here on the American Family Radio Network, and may God use you in the Great Commission.